echoes of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. We're not going to get the exact picture of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, but you'll get the overall feel. Let's take a look. It starts out, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun, moon, and stars. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded, and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His will or His word, mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. He's raised up a horn for His people, praise for His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him, praise the Lord. Father, as we look into this psalm, help us to be people of praise, for You are worth it. You call us to do so, Lord, but You give us every reason as well. Father, I pray that each person as we leave today would go home rejoicing, giving thanks, and thankful, thankful, thankful that You alone are God. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. After everything God made in Genesis, He said it was good. If I remember right, except for woman, He said she was very good. And I always keep that in mind. But we know what He's talking about. And I think what the psalmist is really saying is when you look at what God has made, you got to go, all right. God just doesn't want us to worship, but He's going to command us to do so. But He gives us every reason. Well, hallelujah. It's the same word in every language. It's mentioned over and over. It's the first word in this psalm. It's the last word in the psalm. And as you can tell, it's all over that psalm. It's one of those passages that's not really that hard to understand. And thankfully, it's also not one of those passages that is super hard to do. You know, some of those passages is like, love your neighbor. Oh, you don't know my neighbor. You know, that can be a challenge. Or pay your taxes. But in this case, my pea brain can actually understand it. If I'm attuned to God, I can actually do it. And it's really exciting. Well, if you're going to notice throughout the scripture, and maybe it doesn't show it on the PowerPoint, but Lord, here it's in all capitals. And this is God's covenant name. It's short for Jehovah, Yahweh. It's the name that God identified Himself. You know, Moses said, who should I say sent me? I am. And we go, huh? What's I am mean? But He is saying, I'm the eternal, self-existent, independent one. When He reveals Himself, He is saying, I am a covenant-keeping God. And my seminary professor said, He's the God who makes promises and has power to keep them. And I've always liked to add, and He does. But that name alone gives us reason to praise. He's the Lord. He's the sovereign one. And we're going to see over and over what He has done. Well, it's not just us who should praise God, but everything in the heavens and earth. He's going to talk about the inanimate things above and below. He's going to talk about the things that run, that fly, that swim, that wiggle, that do nothing. Who should praise the Lord? Everything. And one of the Psalms says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And later on, you know, Jesus said, if you don't praise, the rocks and stones will cry out. Well, here, let's look at that again. Who's to praise the Lord? All the heavens. He goes down this list of praise Him from the heavens and the heights, all His angels, all His hosts. He's describing the angels that He made who are faithful to Him, who are declaring His praise. And He's saying, I deserve praise from You. And then He goes on, the sun and the moon and the stars. And in a little bit, we'll talk about how can the sun and the moon praise the Lord? Well, you know, to be truthful, it's by doing what He wants them to do. Way back before God made the the world, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they had a council, and somehow they came with the idea of, we're going to create this universe, and it's going to be big, it's going to be exciting, there's going to be this little blue planet in this little solar system, and I'm going to make these things, and it's going to be so incredible, and they're going to give thanks to us, and they're going to do exactly what we say. Kind of a novel thing, we don't always get it, but the stars and the moon, they do. And he goes on, praise you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. And I'm not sure if he's talking about some water canopy thing way back in Genesis before the flood or what. But then he's going to give the reason. It's so fascinating because a lot of the things he's describing, the angels, the sun, moon, and stars, the animals, the trees, even storms, are things that many people throughout history and even now still worship. Boy, Google angels. Well, you're going to get more stuff than you'd ever want to know. And there's a lot of people that have some interesting thoughts. And there's some great things. You know, they're God's messengers. They're sent to protect and do God's will. But we're never to worship them, even though they're powerful and they can do things we can't. We're to worship the one who made them. And I think over and over, the psalmist and through the scripture is, appreciate what God has made. He did good work. But give the Creator praise, not the created. Because why? Because they exist to glorify the one who made them. Well, what else should praise the Lord? The earth. We look at verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. And this is kind of a wide overview of all God has made. He doesn't list every single creature. They haven't all been discovered yet. Every year, they're discovering hundreds, if not thousands, of new species. Now, personally, I don't get that excited when they find a new variation of tsetse fly in the middle of the Amazonian jungle. But there are people that get really fired up about it. Who knows? Maybe we'll find something trail and name it after you. That would be interesting. But there are more creatures out there that we are always discovering that no one's ever heard of yet, that we never will discover, but God made them for his pleasure and his will. We at Good News Club have been having fun. We were talking about creation, and I can't remember, did I describe for you the days of creation? How on the first day, it was like a candle. God spoke, and there was light. On the second day, he divided the water from the sky. And the third day, you know, you got land and the plants. And the fourth day, the sun, see the circle? And then you got the crescent moon and the stars. On the fifth day, he made the birds that fly and the fish that swim. On the sixth day, he made the people and the wild animals. I remember better like that, obviously. You might as well. We'll teach you afterwards. It's the first time. Okay, yeah, I went to seminary. I went to Bible college. I've been in ministry a long time. But not until about 2 months ago did I actually know the days of creation. But it works. It's great. You know, you're thinking about this. Someday there'll be no pollution. Someday there won't be erosion. Someday there won't be tsunamis. Someday things won't be going crazy. There won't be weird diseases that make the hair on the deer fall out. There won't be sin. There won't be Satan. In that day, which we are looking forward to, everything will be perfect. Partly because God will have made a new heavens and new earth, but everyone and everything will praise God. And I got to thinking about that. How do things praise God? Well, I think mountains, just being mountainous, praise God. Fish swimming in the sea, using their fins, wiggling their lips. That's praising God because that's what he wants them to do. The sun rises and sets, and it brings us warmth, exactly what God wants to happen. And aren't you glad? You know, the moon praises God. How? Because it reflects the sun's light, and it works to control the tides. Dogs bark, and they chase cats. Frogs croak. Have you ever been in a pond, and if you listen real carefully, it sounds like they're saying something? It could be that they're saying, God made me. I don't know. Listen carefully. You know, the wind whistles through the trees, the brooks bubble. God made cats to chase mice and deposit the dead ones on our doorstep. Ah, sorry, Kim, but that's what happens. Do you know that whales actually sing? Scientists have recorded solos and duets and trios and dozens of whales, hundreds of feet under the water, singing to each other for 30, 45, 60 minutes at a time. I have no idea what they're saying, but they must. God gave them the ability to do that. And when they do, they're praising God. One person said, chickens praise the Lord by laying eggs. I hear them cackle. Look what I did. Thank you, Lord. You know, and then we take them and they go, hey, where'd my offspring go? Dairy cows praise the Lord when they produce milk, and we praise the Lord when we have ice cream. You know, one preacher said potatoes praise the Lord every time someone opens a bag of chips. Well, I don't know about that, but I do. I'm excited. But isn't it amazing that the Lord provided all these things for us to enjoy and to use wisely? But not only that, God just plain made him because he wanted to. And he says for them to praise. And by being where they're at and what they're doing, that is good enough for him. We're looking at verse 12. All the people. Who else should praise the Lord? The heavens, the earth, and all the people. Verse 11. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. Well, then we have to ask the question, why? Why should we praise the Lord? Well, you got to go back to verse 5. And it says, for he commanded and they were created. Way back in time, let there be light. And there was. And then he said, let there be this. And I could go through my motions. And all those things happen. How? Because he spoke the word. Don't you love that? The first 11 chapters of Genesis are so important. They tell us that there is a God, that he made this world, that sin came into the world. But even so, there is a promise of the deliverer to come. We find out about nations. We find out about what went wrong. But I love the fact that God spoke and it happened. I've been talking with kids lately, and I've written down on the chalkboard, you know, time plus chance plus nothing equals everything. That is what we are told. Time plus chance plus nothing equals everything. And you go, huh? But that is what's told as fact. Give it long enough and something that didn't exist will appear out of nothing. And they call me unscientific. You know, when you really wrestle with it, because what they're saying is there must be some eternal glass clouds, eternal speck of dust, eternal energy that somehow got there. I don't know where it got there, but look what it did and created. And as believers, we go, no. I don't understand how God got there. He doesn't tell us. My brain's too small. We never will. But I do understand that he's the one that got the ball rolling. In fact, the universe is expanding, and physicists say that. Well, it sounds easy to me. He spoke, and boom, and it's been expanding ever since. It's not time plus chance plus nothing equals everything. It's God was everything, and he made everything. If you look in Hebrews 1, God made the world through his Son. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. God is our creator, and that's reason to praise him. Now, I know sometimes you wake up and you go, oh, things aren't working so good. But it still is pretty amazing what does work well. When the body ceases to function, well, hopefully you go to be with God. Why does he deserve praise? Because he is the one who made you and me. And what else did he do? Verse 6, he established them forever and ever. He is the sustainer. He didn't just create everything. He created so it works. He's our sustainer. Think about the fact, think about the big blue planet spinning through space. If it was a little closer to the sun, it'd be too hot for life. If it was a little too far, it'd be too cold. If it didn't have the right mass, the right center of gravity, our atmosphere would go poof. If it didn't have the right consistency of atmosphere, either we wouldn't have the light for photosynthesis, or we'd get burned to a crisp worse than we already do. If we didn't have the right gravity, we'd be floating away, or things wouldn't work, or the tides would be going crazy. Scientists have said if the Earth was tilted just a little more this way or that, the whole axis would go wacky. There are a couple dozen things that have to happen for life to be on this planet, and God just went, poof. When I'm building something, I have to continually tweak it. Or I'm trying to install something. Oh, that didn't work. So then, you know, like if you're ever trying to set a door and you're like, oh, I got to jam that part up. Or cut a piece of plywood square. I've never done it in my life. But when I try, you know, you're trying to get it and say, okay, and then I shimmy up that part and then address this part and this. It still didn't work. I kick something. I come back. I try it again. Get a friend. They can sort of get it better than me. You know, God just went boom and everything's perfect. How do you do that? Well, he's God, and obviously we're not. He just knew the right shape and the temperature and the sun and the solar storms. And he knew how much oxygen we needed. He knew all about pressure. It didn't take him by surprise that there's not much oxygen on Mount Everest, so it's probably better we live down here. It didn't take him by surprise that if we're trying to swim in the Marianas Trench, we're going to get squished. Hey, he's got it. So what did he do? He put the fish that can stand pressure and the algae and the whatever's down there, and he put us here. He knows exactly what needs to take place and where it needs to be and how it functions. He is smart. He's our sustainer. It's not the laws of physics that keeps things going. It's the author of the laws of physics. Well, why else should we praise him? He's our creator. He's our sustainer. And he is sovereign. He is sovereign, verse 13. His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. We all know people, maybe it's been us in the past, who think we're pretty hot stuff. You see them on stage, you see them on the news, you see them in the paper, in the magazines, read about it on the internet. And you go, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. And we see it all the time. But his name alone is exalted. Reading through Isaiah over and over, there is only one God. He is the one who exists, and he is the one to give credit. And his majesty is above earth and heaven. I personally think the earth is a big place. The state of Oregon is actually pretty big. But the universe is like a trillion miles long, if not longer. And God is there as well as here. And everything in heaven and earth and under the earth and around the earth is called to worship and praise. But what we've got is we have this picture of God being way at the farthest reaches of the galaxy, saying stars and comets and particles and gas molecules, praise God. And then he gets to the earth, and then he takes one step closer, and he begins to talk to you and I. And I love this. And he begins to get really personal in this psalm. We've all heard of Queen Victoria. And she had worked with two very different prime ministers. One of them was William Gladstone. And she had said this about him. With him, I feel I'm one of the most important leaders in the world. But she said, Benjamin Disraeli, on the other hand, makes me feel as if I am one of the most important people in the world. I feel like I'm with one of the most important people. I am one of them. One prime minister provided awe. She was also like, wow. The other provided care and the sense of personalness. So many times in the Psalms, it talks about, and in the Old Testament, God who is way up above, very high, holy, unapproachable, can't get there. But then on the other hand, sometimes Psalms, and as well as the New Testament, is wait, the God who is there draws near. And we see that in Jesus. God the Son takes on flesh and walks among us. We read in verse 14, he has raised up a horn for his people. Horns meant lots of things in the Old Testament. It meant something to do like an animal's horn, cow horn, a ram horn. It could be something you put oil in. They were attached to the corners of the altar. But many times we think of music. Dun-da-da-da, you kind of blow the horn, the shofar at different times. But in this case, the horn is not a picture of music, but a picture of strength. Think of a bull charging. Stay away from its horns. You don't want to be there. It's an image of power. And in Psalm 18, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. It says, the Lord has raised up a horn for his people. He's raised up strength. If we go to the New Testament, it identifies who we're talking about. John the Baptist was Jesus' earthly cousin. His father was Zechariah. And after Zechariah could speak again, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. And he said about what John was going to do. He said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Zechariah was saying, my son is going to be the one who says, here comes the horn. Be ready, be watching, be waiting. And that's what God did. Jesus was born in the house of David, related to the king. And God raised him up. Now, it looked like this horn was not strong for a time. There was the cross. How's this going to save us? But we know that Jesus didn't stay dead. He did go to the grave. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose again. And Jesus is the one God's raising up. The psalmist is speaking to taking care of the people in his day. But it also applies to our day. Jesus is the one that God raises up. It's really fitting that Jesus' name means the Lord is salvation, or God saves. This is a reason to praise him as well. God is not just our creator, our sustainer, but he's also our savior. Verse 14. There was a time in the world where the world wasn't praising any longer. Sin was running crazy. Sin was having its day. And God did something about that situation. He steps in. He makes salvation possible. And he makes it possible to be right with him and praise him again. And Jesus, therefore, is our foundation of praise. End of verse 14. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near him. Praise the Lord. We who are far away are brought near. Paul in Ephesians writes this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Our sin separated us from God. Jesus steps in, pays the penalty, makes it possible for us to be right with him. He is our horn of salvation. He is our Savior. It's interesting when he talks about for the people of Israel. Israel was, or Jacob, that means wrestles with God. And we can wrestle with Father, not to try to overcome him, but to grab hold of him. And why do we do that? Because he's grabbed hold of us. And he doesn't let go of us. And through faith, we can have salvation in him. He's our Savior. He's our Creator. He's our Redeemer. So where do we go from here? Take time to be recounting your praises. Find somebody and tell what God has done for you. Give examples of things he's doing in your life. You know, whether you're in church or out of church, say, thank you, Lord. You know, I'd say praise is not exactly thanksgiving, but it's kind of like kissing cousins. They really go together. But if you focus on what God has done and who God is, it will lead to gratitude in your heart. You can't help it. When you think about, wow, God, you are strong, you're mighty, you're compassionate. Whoa, and you show it towards me. How can you not respond? So how do we praise the Lord? The creatures and the planets are doing the things that they were made to do. We can do the things we're to do. To love God, to love others, to share who he is. To do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with God. To give him the credit that he's due. And why should we praise God? Not just because we're commanded, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, though he does that. Because he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's our Creator, Provider, Healer, Redeemer, our Savior, our Judge. Praise is what God made us to do. I've got a number of screwdrivers, some of which are in great shape because I haven't used them much. Some of them have problems. And the reason is screwdrivers are designed to screw things in and screw things out. But I like to use mine to pry things and poke things and stab things and push things And after a while, that kind of messes them up because screwdrivers were not designed for that. But if you use a screwdriver for the wrong thing, it's not going to go as well. But if you're one of those mechanic types that has a mechanic's chest of tools, it's like from here to the back room, and you just know, oh, I got to change the spark plug in a 1942 Farmall tractor that's got the inverse-reverse mechanism thing. You go, oh, I need that thing, and you go, beep. Whereas it'd take us 3 weeks and we'd be squirming and hollering and never get it done and bust all our fingers. But if you got the right tool and God designed us to praise him, just like he designed the rest of the world. And when we do, we're doing what we were made for. Because think about this, praise is our ultimate destiny. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. will be with Jesus and we will sing praise to him. And someday every knee will bow and tongue confess, and everyone's going to recognize who God is. Right now it's dress rehearsal time. We're getting ready for the big show. And it is important. And just as we listed our praises on the wall, and just as we communicate and take time this week to thank God, that's what we'll be doing for all eternity. And I don't know about you, when I'm counting my blessings, it's not boring. But it fills me with awe and fills me with majesty for our great God. So let me close in prayer. Dear God, we praise you today with our hearts and with the songs we've sung. We praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for your great power and love. We confess we need you. Our lives don't go well when we use them in the wrong way. We struggle, we worry, we get weary, and we wear out. But Lord, you don't. Thank you for your presence, for your care, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we live in a wonderful country that takes a day to give thanks. And Lord, as believers, we just don't give thanks to our lucky stars or to the energy bubbles floating in the air or to fate or whatever else. We give thanks to the living God who is behind all things and has given us all things and is our delight. And so, Lord, help us to praise you well this week and to give you thanks, for you are a good God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.